Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I am your host, and this show is created to inspire you to take steps towards your dreams and turn your goals into a reality. You were given the proclivity, the inspiration to create your dream because it is yours to carry out. You're a piece of the puzzle of heaven here on earth. So go forth and create your dreams. Absolutely. We're going to be talking to someone a little later who is going to inspire us. He's been on the show before. I've interviewed him on the red carpet, on radio, and you're just going to love him. Michael Bernard Beckwith is here. He is a sought-after meditation teacher, conference speaker, and a seminar leader. And Michael's books have received the prestigious Nautilus Award. He's appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Network's Super Soul Sunday, Super Soul Sessions, and Help Desk. Also on Dr. Oz, CNN, The Oprah Show, Larry King Live, Tavis Smiley, and in his own PBS special, The Answer Is You. And Mike Bernard Beckwith is also a member of Oprah's prestigious inaugural Super Soul 100. So we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world. So I want to talk also a little bit, just as an opening here, what is happening in the world. And mamma mia, the people I know, and I mean some high-functioning people are experiencing a lot of chaos right now. We reflect the world reflects us. We are told that we're coming into a really new time, and we're being redesigned for the time, and it's causing some people to really undergo some big issues. It's very interesting in what is a 1 year and supposed to be a year of birth and beginnings and manifestation that there's been a lot of efforting and discomfort for people. I think we're still in the birth canal, folks. So I want to talk about something really fun, because as you've been following me in the past couple of years, how I have been going after my degrees in wine, because I love wine. And I decided that I wanted to know wine and understand wine, which means it opened the doors to geography and history and religion and grapes and why this grape and not that grape and blends and all sorts of information about many countries. I have been loving it and just following the energy. That's all I do. I follow the energy, and it's still fun and light and right. I have come across something, and I want to offer it to you, which is wine delivered to your door, because I'm doing it, and we could sip together. Deb's Wine Wonders. Deb's Wine Wonders. The goal is really to send, like as in mail, you wine that you love. And each month, we have experts who select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. You can go to directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders, and just so you know, the little joke there, Direct Sellers is C-E-L-L-A-R-S, as in a wine seller, directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders, and it's a guaranteed satisfaction, so you don't have to search endlessly at local retail stores and not really know what you're buying, or go to a grocery store, or drive across town. No, the promise is here, convenient Direct Sellers Wine Club. You always have new wine from around the world to try and enjoy every month. Top recommendations from an experienced team of wine experts at below retail prices. And they're shipped directly to your door. It comes with pairing notes, vineyard notes, how to store your wine, and, of course, the wine itself. You can get as little as 2 bottles. It's phenomenal. Enjoy amazing wines now. Direct Sellers with a C, directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Yum, yum. love to hear how you're enjoying it. And I want to talk about presence and about allowing and about receiving. And just as a note to say, if I could offer you anything in these very interesting times, it really is about more than ever, I think we must have integrity to ourselves. More than ever, I think we have to keep checking within our own moral compass and barometer. More than ever, I think we have to play a very big game because the planet needs us. And so, if you will step it up, I'm sure the universe will meet you. I think the universe is a 401k plan. And when you contribute, they match that and more. So have faith. Have faith. Have trust. Have a knowingness that you're held and nested and loved. As I promised, Michael Bernard Beckwith is here. He is the founder and spiritual director of Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, now celebrating its 30th anniversary. Dr. Beckwith has addressed the UN General Assembly, is president of the Association for Global New Thought, hosts conferences of world peace, including His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and had the distinguished honor of presenting to Nelson Mandela the Gandhi King Award. Michael's own radio show is heard on KPFK, and it's called Wake Up, the Sound of Transformation. You can find out more about him at his name, michaelbernardbeckwith.com. Michael, welcome back to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you.
Hey, Debbie, it's so good to be with you. I'm appreciating all the work you've done, the enthusiasm in your voice and being, and it's just good to be with you today.
Always good to be with you. Always a pleasure. And I am so looking forward to a conversation we're going to have on shifting out of turbulence and instead living a life of inspired action. I want to start with a congratulations, 30 years old for Agape. Happy anniversary. That's phenomenal.
Yes, thank you. I can't believe that it's been 30 years, actually. And we're now, of course, moving into our 31st year. And it's gone by very fast. I didn't even realize that I'd been doing one thing for over 30 years until someone brought it to my attention a couple of years ago. It's like, wow, this has really been going on. A lot of millions of lives have been touched, a lot of services, a lot of programs, a lot of transformationals, a lot of healings. It's been a great run.
Yes, yes, and live streaming and all of that. Here you are looking back on almost 31 years since Agape's inception until now. What do you feel? What does that legacy or the 31-year anniversary bring up for you?
Well, when I look at it, I can remember over 30 years ago what I was teaching and a lot of things that I was advocating seemed to be a bit odd, a bit weird, and now they're mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I can remember right here in Los Angeles being looked upon as the exotic, weird spiritual community over there in Santa Monica and then in Culver City. And then now you look around, and a lot of things that I was teaching over the years have now become a part of our main conversation. It's not unusual. It's not weird. It's central. What was on the circumference is now central. To how people live, how people want to live, in terms of understanding the laws that govern the universe, the laws that govern our thinking, how to put that into practice, everywhere, anything from nutrition to meditation to visioning to affirmative prayer. All these practices are now a part of people's growing lifestyle, which...
Clearly, and, you know, because you've been on Larry King, Oprah, CNN, you've got your own show on mainstream Los Angeles, KPFK. So yeah, it is the conversation. And thankfully so, for all of us who have believed this for a long time, I'm so glad the world is catching up.
Right, that's how I look at it. The world is catching up with us.
Right? It
Absolutely.
Is. You know, some of us were sort of lit up before, and I'm glad, you know, in a way, what's going on in the world opens the door for that. So let's go there. Recently, you've been talking a lot about using your practices, using your teachings to help navigate the vibrational turbulence of the world. What, Michael, is going on? Why is this such a turbulent time?
Well, you know, on a spiritual level, you look at the planet Earth, and the vibration of the Earth is higher than it's ever been. You look at the population of the planet, it's higher than it's ever been. And because of that, old structures have to dissolve. They have to disintegrate in order for new patterns to emerge. So we're looking at, with all of the tumult and all of the turbulence that's happening, you're looking at things that were hidden are now coming to light. You're looking at things that were swept under the rug for so many years now being swept out. So, you know, if you go into an old house and you begin to clean it up, the first thing you notice are the cobwebs, the dust, the dirt, all that stuff that is there that has to be dusted out before the pattern of the beauty that is underneath all of that can emerge. So I think we're living in times such as that now. We have a course corrector in office that can't hide things that are going on. Previous politicians could kind of go business as usual, and this one can't. He doesn't have it within him. So everything that he does is like very transparent, from his shoddy business practices to just the way he goes through the world. So he's like a Mr. Magoo that fits kind of for our times of that which was hidden now coming into light. And I mean, I travel around the world, and people are aghast to find out, to discover that the United States wasn't a democracy. They thought it was always a democracy until they began to study and realize that we have an electoral college, as an example, that mm-hmm. we're not a real democracy, that we're a pseudo-democracy. And so all of these things that were hidden and people just taking for granted are now surfacing. So many things are surfacing that people can begin to wrap their minds around that and kind of begin to see the kind of world they want to live in and then walk in that direction with whatever their gifted area is. You know, some people are to be spiritual activists, some people are to be architects of that which is emerging, some people are to help hospice that which doesn't work anymore, some people are to midwife that which is trying to be born. Everybody has a gift and a talent. Mm-hmm. So these are very interesting, turbulent times, but they're not bad times in the long run. In the short run, there's suffering. In the short run, there's fear, doubt, and worry. But in the long run, there's an evolutionary arc that's beginning to be revealed about the kind of world we can all live in. You know, we have to see it. We have to articulate it. We have to walk in that direction. We have to stay out of fear. We have to keep our heart open, regardless of how messy it gets. And step by step by step, build the world we want to live in, even if it's not within the present structures that exist. I know that was a lot that I just said, but...
Wow, even if it's not in the structures, even if we don't see it or know it yet, because turbulent means stormy, choppy,
yes.
Lustery. So yes. If that is so, and if... Now more than ever, we need that level of insight to lift us out of depression, out of overwhelm. How can we go into a life of inspired action? What kind of insights can you share so we can actually be in the highest and the best good for all?
Well, the first thing we have to do on a daily basis and regularly, we have to opt out of the world as it has been presented to us. When everyone took an incarnation on the planet, the world as we know it already existed. It was somebody else's blueprint, somebody else's experience. And oftentimes, until people become conscious, they just live in a world that's already presenting themselves. What we have to do is opt out of the world and understand that there's something within us that hasn't manifested yet, and that's the world mm-hmm. we have to opt into. We have to opt into our potential. We have to opt into possibility. We have to describe that possibility so we're not just navigating through an old world which is dead. So the first thing we do is opt out. Then we begin to ask, what is it that wants to emerge in my life? And then as small groups come together, what wants to emerge as this particular group of people in this state, in this city, in this nation, in this neighborhood, in this spiritual community? So first there's an opting out. Then there's an opting in to the invisible potential. Now, most people don't opt out. What they do is they learn how to create defense mechanisms and coping mechanisms and different kind of compulsive behaviors to navigate through the turbulence, but they never vibrationally opt out of it. So you have to opt out before you can opt in to your potential. Opting in is when you enter into your visioning, your meditation, your affirmative prayer, you're asking deep and profound and empowering questions so that the universe can answer them for you. But most people aren't even aware that they haven't opted out of the matrix of insanity, lack, limitation, fear, doubt, worry, bigotry, homophobia. They haven't opted out. Mm. You have to opt out first, and then you ask how you can opt into something greater.
Wow. That's amazing. I feel like you're talking about going to our own unique Switzerland, where it's completely neutral. There is no judgment, criticism, no they, we, us, versus bad, good. No separation, basically.
No.
And
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Please go ahead. Well, yeah, I'm just hearing you say that once we opt out and we're able to go to a place of neutrality, that's when we can start to create an architecture with which to create and build.
Yeah, absolutely. When you enter into visioning, you don't have any judgment about the past. The past might be hospiced, you know, so the new can be a midwife. What used to work before may not work for us now, so there's no judgment on it. You're going to that place of asking a different kind of question, because there's something within each and every one of us that we have brought here to reveal, to give, to share. And if we're fighting against something, then we don't have enough energy to birth that which is within us that wants to come forward. So it's absolutely right. It's a place of non-judgment. Doesn't mean you throw away your discernment about things, but the judgmentalism is dissolved. And you have discernment, but something else is trying to come forward in you. So I appreciate what you just said. That was great. We go to our own inner Switzerland, and we ask the right questions, and then we start to hear what wants to come forward, and we start to walk in that direction. Now, interestingly enough, when more and more people start to walk in the direction of our higher calling, then structures that no longer serve us aren't fed by our resistance. They become neutralized, and the new systems and the new ways of being, the new ways we treat each other, begins to be more energized, and a new world is built, you see. It's a constant...
So what is it then that stops peace in this world? What stops peace on the planet?
Peace, you know, let's describe peace first. Peace is not just the lack of conflict. You know, peace is the dynamic of harmonizing good. Peace is a quality. You know that if you walk into a room, you can feel if two people are sitting there, even if they're not saying anything, you can feel whether that dynamic of harmonizing good is operating between them. You can walk into a room and two people may be in disagreement, but you can feel peace operating through them, even though they may not agree on whatever it is they're talking about. So peace in and of itself is a quality. This quality is spiritual, it's everywhere, and it is everywhere except where it's being suppressed by a limited perception, small paradigm. So peace, we all have equal access to this dynamic of harmonizing good, but it may be suppressed through fear, through worry, doubt. It may be suppressed through a lack of self-love and appreciation. It may be suppressed through over-identification with traumas and dramas that we've had in life. And so once we begin to understand that peace does not come from a condition, but it comes from a state of awareness, then we discover that we can have peace, emanate peace, be in peace, regardless of external conditions. Now we become a harbinger of peace. We become a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. It's our vibration, you see. And all of us know of individuals who seem to be unflustered by circumstance. They don't lose their peace just because a condition changes. And there are individuals who live more at the surface of life, and if a condition changes, they lose their peace because their peace is a pseudo-peace. It's a peace based on conditions rather than on their intrinsic nature. So peace is intrinsic to all of us, just as love is, just as beauty is, and intelligence. All of these qualities are intrinsic. And so a part of spiritual awakening is actually awakening to those dynamic qualities within us that are inherent, not based on condition. Now we can live those qualities, and then we create a field that is rich and as real as gravity, rich as real as magnetism. We create a field that in that field generates new conditions, new circumstances, new bridges, new openings, new possibilities, new opportunities for that peace to take shape.
How lovely. I even had an experience this morning. I had coffee with somebody, and we were talking about Amazon. And I was saying, oh, did you know they're changing how they do Prime? So rather than pay for a full year for Fresh or Prime and pay up front for a year, they're going month to month. You can opt in, opt out. And it was a really benign conversation and comment. And I watched the other person, talk about pseudo peace, go into this unbelievable agitation that she's not allowed to pay for Prime for a year. And it was, I thought, my goodness, talk about the small stuff. Like, it's really in the scheme of life, not such a big blip. But I really watched her anxiety come up and worry and what is she going to do and I want to order when I want to order. And I found it fascinating. I just observed the whole thing and then made a really funny comment for levity, and we both laughed and it was over. But it is really true. And I think on a daily basis we experience this, what other people do, what other people say, what, when we turn on the news, when we drive down the street and someone's going too slow. I mean, there is so, they all knock us off course.
Absolutely.
And you have to opt out of that world. Our own private place, right? It's
right.
About finding that place and space where peace just is.
And it's real. I want to tell you that it's real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It is not some made-up religious belief. It's not hocus-pocus, you know. Intrinsic to our nature is a peace that's untouched and untarnished by time or human experience. But you have to find it with intentionality, sincerity, earnestness, spiritual practice. And once you taste it, and no one, you never have to believe anybody again. Once you taste it yourself, you don't have to take anybody's word for it. Once you taste it, it's real, and it pulls you, because you'll never be satisfied from that moment on until it is a permanent part of your awareness. And then you don't go to peaceful places. You take peace with you everywhere you go. You take it into the boardroom. You take it into your bathroom. You take it into your kitchen. You take it into your meetings. You take it with you. It's like heaven. You don't go to heaven. You put on heaven, and you take heaven with you, you see. And
wow.
You can tell your friends.
Let's all take heaven. I love that. Let's take some peace. Let's take some heaven. Let's claim it. Let's name it and claim it and cause it to be ours right now. Well, you're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. When we come back, I'll be speaking with Michael about the nature of this great something we call God and what is our relationship to it. You can get your free Dare to Dream Radio mobile app from iTunes, and the app is called Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Join me after the show also on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestseller.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book review. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
I love my life.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm interviewing Michael Bernard Beckwith. You can find out more at agapelive.com. I just want to do a little aside here. During the break, Michael and I were talking, and I thought this was fabulous. He mentioned for the friend with the Amazon who went into this agitation over the change of policy they were having, there's actually something that could create peace, and I love this because I'm going to use it too. He might want to speak to this, but there's something called Amazon Smile. Tell us what we could do there at Amazon Smile, Michael.
When you go on your website and or your email or your, you know, yeah, your website, you pull up Amazon Smile. You can actually join Amazon Smile, and you can choose a charity that a percentage of your purchase will go towards. Agape International is one of those charities. It doesn't change the price of any item that you buy. Just from that moment on, anytime you buy anything on Amazon, a percentage goes to Agape. And it's already loaded in, so when you start typing Agape, it'll pop up, Agape International Spiritual Center of Truth. That's the full name. And, you know, if a lot of people do it, it adds up, and it supports the operations and the ministries here in our community. So that may bring a little bit of peace to any kind of agitation about Amazon. So from then on, you just go to Amazon Smile. And it carries all of your old information, so it's not like you're creating a new account. All it does is switch it so that you can assist with the charity known as Agape.
What a great way to tithe, 1,000%. I'm totally doing it. So, folks, go to Amazon Smile. Whenever you're going to go to Amazon anyway, just choose Agape for a charity. Again, Michael's saying it's not going to change your price. You're going to pay exactly what you pay anyway. They're just going to tithe themselves through you a portion of it to go to Agape International Spiritual Center of Truth. Awesome.
Right.
Love it.
That's and once you do it, you don't action. Have to. Once you do it, you don't have to keep doing it. It's just already locked in there. So every time you buy from Amazon Smile, it just automatically does it.
Oh, that's great. I want to ask you regarding change. Something kind of funny, but I'm a little intrigued. I saw you recently. I think in March we were on a red carpet together. I was interviewing you. You have changed your look. So you've always, as long as I've known you, had this beautiful long hair, and now you have this beautiful short hair. You've gone for a whole new you. What precipitated this change in how you look?
I had those locks for 16 years, and I just felt that it was something new was being born in me. And when I went to Egypt for a couple of weeks, I took about 80-something people to Egypt. We did powerful ceremony. Went through all the temples. It was a very, very powerful initiation for all of us. And I felt, I just got the calling that it was time for a symbolic shift, for my internal shift, and it was the hair. So the day I arrived back from Egypt onto U.S. soil, I got my hair cut off. And very freeing, very liberating. I have no regrets about it. And it just seems to fit where I'm at right now. That's not to say that 5 years from now I don't grow my hair back, but I'm not interested in that right now. I like the short look. Feels good, feels clean. I recently returned from Costa Rica where I was teaching over there at the Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. And I was able to jump in the ocean in the morning and teach in the afternoon. And, you know, it's very beautiful, very freeing. So I loved it. I loved the long hair.
And you have to dry your hair before you
know
it. You just jumped in the ocean and came out and dried off.
Jumped in the ocean, took a shower, and came in and started teaching after I ate I drank my shake and ate my little breakfast. And it was just very, very clean and very beautiful. And I loved it and still love it.
How nice. Yeah, well, you look great. I love the fact that your outsides can reflect shifts and insides. And so, let's see. I guess I'm going to ask this question. I have a couple of things percolating inside of me. Let me start with the nature of this great something we call God.
Ah.
And what is our relationship to it? What is the truth there?
When we consider the supreme presence, God life, we want to be certain that we're not anthropomorphizing it. We're not making it a man in the sky. This presence is exactly that, capital P, presence. It's a presence that's everywhere. It's alive. It's life itself. It knows itself to be alive. And its essence is love and intelligence, beauty, harmony. And the relationship is more of an at-one-ment. Our life is an emanation of this one presence. Just as the sunbeam is not separate from the sun but carries all of the luminosity and brilliance of the sun, just as a wave is not separate from the ocean, it carries everything that the ocean has, our relationship is in that one-ment with the presence. So So ultimately, as we mature spiritually, we move from begging and beseeching a reluctant deity, we move up the scale to praying to God, then we move up the scale to communion, where we're actually communing with the presence of the life that is closer to us than we are to ourselves sometimes. And this presence is so beautiful and so alive. I can remember 40 years ago, you know, having my first spiritual awakening as an adult, and the love that penetrated my being and the beauty that was everywhere was overwhelming to my paradigm at that particular time. And year after year after year, through deep meditation and prayer, continue to expand my awareness and integrate what had happened to me. The presence is alive. It's everywhere. I know the presence intimately. Matter of fact, my first, for a number of years, I never even used the word God. I used the word love and beauty, because that was just very close. The love, beauty, presence, because that was the word God had so much baggage on it. Mm-hmm. But now, then it became love, beauty, intelligence. And now I use the word God again, because I know it doesn't have the baggage of religiosity and a man God and has chosen people and smites people and gets mad. And, you know, there's an old saying that the presence of God made us in its image, and we've been trying to return the favor ever since. You know, we've been trying to make God, make God in a human image, you know. And that's a part of the suffering that people have, is that they've made this God presence into a human image and put all these human things on it. And God is so beyond that. We have a cosmos, we have universes that have trillions of galaxies, and those trillions of galaxies, there are trillions of solar systems that have life everywhere, and some of that life is not human, but it's still the life of God. So to make God in a human image is to so limit the scope of what the presence of God is. So when we expand through real authentic prayer and meditation and spiritual technologies, we have these insights. An insight is an event that takes place in our consciousness where we incrementally or suddenly know something that we only previously believed. When we have an insight into that, it blows our mind. I don't even know what to say. The presence of God is so real to me, and everything else.
Oh, I feel it. It makes me want to cry to listen to you.
Yeah,
it's so
I'm almost
beautiful.
Crying. I just can't. I mean, if I start talking about the presence, it makes me want to cry. It's just so real, and if people could get a taste.
It changes
your whole positionality, your whole perspective. And the first thing that happened to me when that happened years ago is that all fear and worry stopped. It was like gone. It disappeared in the face of God. You know, because anxiety and anxiousness is a fear of the future. But when you're with this presence, there is no future. Everything is now. Your needs are met, and it just continues to unfold in a very powerful and wonderful way. And if we want to just stay here in this presence, and it doesn't mean we're not doing anything. No. We do more. We're called to do more. We're called to be more active. We're called to be more generous, more giving, more kindness. More kindness exudes through us. More love. You know, but according to our uniqueness. So we're talking about the presence of God. We really want to place our attention on the word presence. I say a presence that's never an absence. It never comes and goes. In the human human context, people think God comes and goes. You know, I'm going to pray for God to come. Well, God can't come because God never left. Because God's everywhere. God's omni. So God can't come and go.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
It just means that we've shifted our perception and we think God is gone, but we've just closed off a part of ourselves. But if we say God is omni.
Let me ask you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
ahead.
We started with turbulence, right? And world, yes, global turbulence. And we went a little bit about how things are being swept out of an old house and that illusion. And with Mr. Magoo in office right now, I love that. I thought that was hilarious. Mr. Magoo, yeah, that there's a course corrector and a transparency, and we're going from the hidden to the surfacing. Taking it from global to personal, and I'll use myself, and I am sure there are many who can fill in the blanks with health, career, money, dreams, relationships, family. For me, I am going through the end of a love relationship, a decade-long romantic partnership, and it means moving, and it means a lot of upheaval and change and sadness and grief and a not peace at times. So for people like myself who are experiencing loss, what can we do to help ourselves through a time like this where there is an inner darkness, even though we may have some great things also happening? What would you,
right,
suggest?
Well, whether it's a loss of a relationship, whether it's the end of a job or some sudden shift, there's three things that have to happen. One, we accept what is. We do not go into wishful thinking. I wish I woulda, coulda, shoulda. I wish he woulda, coulda, shoulda. I wish we coulda, woulda, shoulda. We accept what is. If something is over, the job is over, the relationship has shifted, you know, we accept that that's what's happening. We don't make ourselves, we don't increase the suffering by wishing that something was different or could have been different. We accept it what it is. And then from total acceptance, we begin to harvest the good. That's stage two. We begin to look at the relationship, whatever it was, and we look at all the ways we grew in that relationship. Where did we grow? What was good here? What did I learn? Where did I evolve? You know, we harvest the good, and then that can take a period of time. We just, and then stage three is we forgive all the rest. So we accept what is, we harvest the good, and we forgive all the rest. Then we're able to see that everything has seasons, and there could be a dynamic season where there's a tremendous amount of essence of love just shining and sharing and glowing and growing, and it's all wonderful and magnificent. And then seasons change, and we don't curse the end of one season and then going into another season. We become aware that that was a great season. I learned A, B, C, and D. I contributed this. I received this. Now I'm in another season. And so oftentimes people have a lot of judgment around shifting seasons, and they put their own spin on it, and they did this, and he should have done that, and she should have done this, and, you know, they lower their perception and get into judgment. We stay out of that. Seasons change. And sometimes, whether it's a career, a position, whether it's a relationship, sometimes that's to be a great chapter in the book, but it's not to be the whole book. You know what I mean? But you don't bemoan it because it wasn't the full book. It was a great chapter, you know? And you celebrate what you're harvesting, and then everything else that you can't quite wrap your attention around, you go into forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't want to carry animosity, resentment. You don't want to carry any of that into your next season, because it will thwart the unfolding of who you're becoming. And so you don't hang around people that are going to bring the worst out of you about an end of a season. You only hang around people that's going to bring the best out of you, and keep you out of judgment, and keep you out of resentment, keep you out of animosity, you know, so that your ego doesn't take over and make you look like a shining knight, you know, and everybody else looks bad, you know. So those three stages are very important. Accept what is. No wishful thinking. Harvest all the good. Forgive all the rest. So when you go into your next season, what do you have? The foundation of the harvesting of all of that good. Your platform is stronger. Your foundation is stronger. You're not going into your next season with resentment and animosity and fear. You're going into your next unfoldment with all the good that you received from your previous job or your previous relationship.
Mm, so powerful. Accept what is, harvest the good, forgive all the rest. Everything has seasons, and celebrate the harvesting. And Michael, what you said reminded me of something that I've told myself through this process, which is, this is but a short chapter in a much greater story.
Absolutely.
And to hang my faithful hat on that.
Absolutely. And then you end up, after a while, you end up being grateful for that chapter. You end up grateful for that particular season, because there's some areas of your life that evolved, that grew, that could not happen without him. You know what I mean? That whatever that person was, or that position was, or that job was, they were the catalyst to certain levels of growth. So the form changes. All forms change. Our bodies change. Houses change. Cars change. The tires get worn out. You know, everything changes. So we are able to celebrate the gifts that were given during that time. And even though the form is changing, what you're left with are all those gifts. So that eventually, on a subconscious level, when you hear that name, you don't cringe. You say, "Oh, wow, yeah, that was really a good time in my life. I learned this, I got this, I gave this, I contributed this." Or if it was a position, "Oh, yeah, I remember when I left that position. I really learned a lot there. That was a good time in my life." You can only get there if you do the inner work to accept, harvest, and forgive all the rest.
Accept, harvest, forgive all the rest. Wow. When we come back, we'll be talking to Michael about what keeps him grounded. This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. You can write me about this show at daretodreamradio@gmail.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
Be laser-focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world, and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My Bestseller Book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
This is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream Radio. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Michael Bernard Beckwith. You can go to agapelive.com, or again, if you love to order from Amazon, instead go to Amazon Smile and choose Agape for your charity. And Michael, we have just a few minutes, but I want to get in some lightning round questions. I'd love to know, what ritual, what practice do you do? This is my question. What ritual practice do you do that keeps you connected to the presence or God?
I have a ritual is a really good word. When I wake up, I put my feet on the ground, I stand up, I raise my arms above my head, take a deep breath, and I just say, in substance, I'm so grateful to be alive. I surrender to life. What would you have me do? So I just say that, you know, I'm so grateful to be alive. I surrender to life. What would you have me do? So I put myself in a position of service. I walk over to a place in my room where I meditate, and I sit for a few moments of meditation and connection. And then I, from there, I hydrate, take certain things, and then I go to the gym. I work out physically. Mm-hmm. Then I come back, I make a shake, I shower, get ready, and then I have a longer period of time of meditation before I leave the home. And that's
Great. So you feet hit the ground, arms go up, and the gratitude for the day, for the breath, for the life. Then you get into some self-care, workout, and then it's meditation. And what for you, Michael, what is the lesson that has taken you the longest to learn?
Wow, there's probably a couple of them. I think they're tied together. Over the years, it has been being available to receive more. There was a kind of a hookup within me that I could share a lot and give a lot and do a lot. But I've had to up-level my ability to receive, and I think I've done really good with that over the last 10 years of my life, just being very conscious of that, being available. And the other lesson is that when I see people, I see their potential. I see the possibility. I see the giftedness of their soul. And for me, it's very present. It's like now. If I look at you, and if I stay with you for a couple of moments, I will tune in to your highest potential, and I'll vibrate with it. Now, the downside of that is the person may not be at that level yet, so I had to learn discernment as to when that person was actually at that level. So there have been times in my life where, with that lack of discernment, I've been burned a little bit, you know, with the human consciousness. But now, with the expanding of discernment, you know, I still see, I never look for anything negative in anyone. I don't waste my attention with that. I look for only the highest and best, and I allow a discernment to guide me as to how I'm supposed to work with that individual, whether they're actually the person that I'm seeing or whether they're growing into it. Now that's becoming to be more apparent to me. But years ago, it wasn't that apparent because I'd see God in everybody, you know. And it's like, oh, yes, oh, wow, look at the light of that person, you know. But they didn't see it in themselves. You know, and so then, of course, wherever there's a human being, there's human consciousness, and that human consciousness would come up, and I'd say, wow, why are they acting like that? And then later on, they would become what I saw, you know. Mm. So those are two lessons, yeah. But I'm much better at both of them now.
That's a very, very big lesson. Yeah. I was just having conversation with somebody akin to this about the shadow, and she was pointing out to me, you know, Deb, shadow isn't just your disowned negativity or dark parts. Shadow is very much what's amazing about you that you have not fully owned or stepped into. So you're a winner, you're successful, you're brilliant, you make an impact on the world. Go on and on with these true adjectives. If it is not fully owned today and present, it is your shadow. So that's beautiful that you were able to acquire discernment around that and seeing potential and yet separating from the what is and what could be. I give you my hat off for that.
And, Michael, friend, it is true. It is true because most of our good is unmanifest. It's undifferentiated, unmanifest good. Most of who we are is invisible. Just as most of the cosmos is invisible and what we can see is infinitesimal compared to what we can't see, it's the same with ourselves. Most of us is dark, dank, in the womb of creation, and we're constantly mining that to bring it forth into expression.
Mine away, people. Accept what is, harvest the good, forgive all the rest, wake up in the morning, put your hands up in the air, and thank the all that is for your breath, for the day, and for the being. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It is my joy. Keep dashing, Deborah. You're great.
Ha-ha. Thank you so much. And I end today's show with this quote from Michael Bernard Beckwith's book, Spiritual Liberation. In this moment of quietude, this moment of devotion, this moment of resolve, I surrender. I let go of all that would inhibit my realization of my oneness with the Spirit. I allow myself to feel that I'm living, moving, and having my being in the divine presence. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere being itself. I now allow it to express in and through me, to be me, the real me. Next week, the guest on Dare to Dream is Mas Sajati. Tune in. He'll be doing live healings for listeners. And remember, discover new wine selections every month delivered directly to your door. Life is complicated. Wine shouldn't be. We make it easy. Go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Thanks for being with us today.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want.